السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. It is mentioned in the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this auspicious month of Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that these 30 days of Ramadan have been divided into three sections. The first of which, the first 10 days, are referred to as days of Rahmah, days of mercy. Therefore, with regards to this aspect of Rahmah and mercy, it has been referred to in a number of places of the Quran Sharif and the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence, from this we understand its importance and its value in our lives. And therefore we should make it a habit that we, in our daily ma'amulat and du'as, we ask for the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to understand how powerful this rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. We all are concerned, especially in this month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala has made it such that shaitan has been chained and a person becomes more spiritually inclined. So we start becoming concerned about our reformation. That I've got certain bad habits, so many years old, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, but I still haven't been able to rid myself of, for example, temper, anger. These are all dangerous habits. I still have got so much of pride with regards to temper. Nabi Kareem Sa'asim mentioned, إِنَّ الْغَضَبَ لَيُفْسِدُ الْإِيمَانِ كَمَا يُفْسِدُ صبر العسل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that this anger is such a thing that it has the capability of destroying one's iman, just like how the aloe plant destroys honey. Now this aloe plant is such that when it is mixed with the honey, it totally destroys the sweetness of the honey, it's gone. The person who's got an anger problem and a temper problem, then this temper is such a thing that it can destroy his entire iman. So, in deen, we are not told to totally get rid of this anger. Anger will be there. The person, somebody breaks into the home, or somebody is interfering with one's family, or wife, or children, or the person is in the battlefield. So then, as I was in Maulana Sahab Rahmatullah, he's always saying, the person is in the battlefield, now he announces to the enemy, Kemi Haqir, Faqir, Abdul Qadiru. I am extremely weak, you know, I don't want to fight and I don't want to hurt you or anything. So now that's not the occasion for that. There the person will show his anger, will show his temper. Or the person, somebody is breaking into the home, so there the person will show his force and show his strength. But the strong person is that person that when he gets angry over something which is of a personal nature, he's able to swallow and control that anger. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that ليس الشديد بالسرعة إنما الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب, that the strong person is not the one who can floor his opponent. He can wrestle and drop his opponent. That's not really the strong person. The real strong man is that person that he is able to control his anger. الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ, is able to control himself at the time of anger. That's the strong person. So this month of Ramadan, why are we speaking about patience? Is the month of Ramadan, or rather anger, is the month of Ramadan is also referred to as the month of patience. Now the person is fasting, he's hungry, he's woken up early, so he's a bit tired also. So now the mizaj is such that the person is on edge. So now anything can trigger some kind of anger. So therefore in the month of Ramadan, we should be more cautious about controlling our temper and our anger. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. But nevertheless, the person has got concern in the month of Ramadan, that listen, I have to reform myself, I need to change myself. I need to get rid of this anger. I need to get rid of this pride. As far as pride is concerned, it is that killer disease. It is that bomb, as Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah used to refer to pride, that you have these hujjaj that they are traveling, returning back. They got a whole lot of saman. They bought gifts for their children. But now there's one bomb that's in the plane. What will happen if that bomb explodes? Everything is destroyed. Pride is that bomb. When it explodes in our lives, it can destroy everything. Such a dangerous disease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure us from this disease. But the reality is that Allah ta'ala has said in the Quran Sharif, that if it is not for the fadl and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of you can reform yourself. None of you can reform yourselves. So this rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such an important thing in our life. In the incident of Yusuf ala Nabina alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was congratulated, when he was praised for his taqwa and for his consciousness and for the fact that he was able to control himself when he was seduced by Zulaykha. So what was his answer? He said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I don't regard my nafs as free from sin. Why? Because إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّوءٍ. That the quality of the nafs is that it intensely encourages a person towards sin and towards guna and towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Except that person upon whom the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focused. In other words, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat is focused on an individual in his life, then he will also get the tawfiq and the ability to stay away from sins and guna. So this rahmat is extremely important in our lives. Another example that comes to mind as well, and something that we should be very concerned about, is that we don't ever move and shift away from this rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence we should constantly make this dua. For example, in the Quran Sharif it is mentioned, وَقُرْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Say, O my Rabb, forgive me, have mercy on me. You are the most merciful of those who have mercy. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ, the best of those who have mercy. So this is a dua which we have been encouraged to make. Then similarly we hear this dua, a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اللهم ارحمني بترك المعاصي. O Allah, have mercy upon me by granting me the tawfiq to stay away from sins and from your disobedience. So again, the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, have mercy on me by giving me the ability to stay away from sins. وَلَا تُشْقِنِي بِمَعْسِيَتِكَ. And O Allah, do not cause me to become wretched, to become unfortunate in that I disobey your commands. So this is another important thing. And on this point of rahmah, what is the opposite of rahmah? The opposite of rahmah is la'na. The definition of la'na, la'na in Arabic means cursed. Person says, I'm cursing him. La'natullahi alayhi, may Allah's curse be on him. So what's the definition of curse? Al-bu'd anir rahmah. The opposite of rahmah is la'na. To be far away from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are cursing anyone, what we are actually saying, that may you be very, very far away from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we should be extremely cautious. In the previous Jummah Bayan that we had given here, we had mentioned this also, as in Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah also had mentioned this, and whatever we quote here is what we learned from our elders and ulama and our asatiza. So he had mentioned that sometimes we curse. The parent curses the child. One parent called me and said, Ma, you know, this child of mine has troubled me to such an extent. So much of taklif this child has caused to me that I just can't help cursing. So obviously the same advice we had given, that if we're going to curse our own children, we are going to suffer in the process. Or if the spouse curses, husband curses the wife, or the wife curses the husband, or the children curse the parents. Now if that husband cursed his wife and now she became totally terminally ill. So now who has to pay the bills and see to her needs? That same husband who cursed her. And if the wife cursed the husband due to his abuse, so now when that husband is afflicted with some incurable disease, so now who has to see to him? The same wife. And now he's unemployed, he doesn't have a job too because he's got such a severe sickness. Now as far as the financial situations are concerned, who's also suffering in the process? That very wife who cursed the husband. Now if the mother cursed the son, and the son ends up becoming a drug addict, and now starts stealing everything in the home, who also will suffer in the process? That very mother who cursed the child. So therefore, if we have been hurt in some way, and the pain is in the heart, at that time, instead of making a negative dua, let's use that occasion to make a positive dua. Perhaps it is the moment of acceptance, that pain is in the heart, that husband has abused the wife to such an extent. Allah Ta'ala give the menfolk the hidayat and understanding. These women have sacrificed their lives. They have sacrificed the comforts of their home. They've come into us, into our homes. They are there at our beck and call. And then we treat them worse than sometimes some are treating their wives worse than even animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has interceded on their behalf. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ That deal with them and treat them in a beautiful and amicable manner. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set the example. He said, the best amongst all of you, the best amongst all of you is the one who is best to his wife. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I am the best to my wife from all amongst you. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led by example. Yet he had so much of fikr. Sometimes say, but Maulana, you don't know what parishani I got, so I couldn't control myself. Was there anyone who had more fikr and more parishani and more concern than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The fikr of the entire ummah was on his shoulders. But yet, when he would enter the home, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha states that he used to enter with a smile. She used to say that, Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsun. He said that we have got a sun and the horizon has got a sun. The sun of the horizon rises after Fajr. And our sun rises after Isha when my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters the home. So this was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, always cheerful, happy, considerate to his wives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. So al-bu'd anir rahmah, the opposite of la'na is to be distant from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should always ask and never ever curse any person. Use that occasion to make a positive dua. Ya Allah, give this child hidayat. Oh Allah, give my husband hidayat. Allah, give the wife hidayat. So it could be the moment of acceptance. Now, mashallah, you use that opportunity and Allah Ta'ala made it a means, a turning point for that individual's life. So now, as far as la'na is concerned, and we'll terminate on this, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. And yet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen, mercy for mankind. But he said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرُ وَالْمَنْظُورِ إِلَيْهِ May Allah curse the one who casts lustful glances. And that individual who dresses in such a way that he invites or she invites lustful glances towards himself or herself. May Allah curse that person. For who is making this dua? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who say that what are these ulama just harping on this one aspect of lowering gaze. They've got nothing better to talk about. Must talk about more important things. There's so many big things in the ummah to worry about. If it was something trivial, would Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have resorted to cursing? The mere fact that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has cursed the individual who casts lustful glance itself indicates how serious a crime this particular thing is. O may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. If we commit a sin, we should never justify it. We are weak. We should say, Ya Allah, it is my weakness. I'm not justifying this sin. I know it is wrong. It's my own weakness that I'm unable to control my gaze. It is my own weakness that I'm dressing in such a way, or I'm, for the woman folk, putting this kind of perfume that I'm inviting the gazes of others towards myself. It is my weakness. No, Allah, I'm not acknowledging my sin. It is the month of Ramadan. I'm not justifying my sin. Allah, you forgive this sin of mine. You give me tawfiq. You give me hidayat. So never ever justify the sin. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan causes us to be totally drenched in these rains of rahmah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.